Bibles again and turn with me back to the book of Zechariah, back to Zechariah chapter 11. You may have noticed in Matthew's gospel in that last reading, Matthew attributes the quotation that he made to Jeremiah, not to Zechariah, and commentators have wondered why that is. Probably the clearest explanation is that Jeremiah foretold something very similar in Jeremiah 19, and Matthew decided to attribute it to Jeremiah as well. So Zechariah 11, I just want to read verses 12 through 13 once again, verses 12 and 13. This is after Zechariah has been rejected after years of ministering to the people. Then I said to them, "If it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them." And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said to me, "Throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them." So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. Let's pray briefly. Father in heaven, we call upon you now and ask for your abundant blessing. We pray that Christ would work in our hearts by his Spirit, by the Word, to lead us to him. To lift our eyes to the infinite worth of the Son of God. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would also enable us to put aside the cares and distractions of life and to give our careful attention to the preaching and hearing of the Word. We pray that Christ would be glorified and that we would be pointed to him. We pray in his great name. Amen. If you were asked, what is Christ worth to you? If you were asked, what is Christ's value to you? How would you answer a question like that? Or to put it another way, how would your life answer that question? In other words, what would your priorities say about how you value the Lord Jesus Christ? How would your response to trials and hardships speak of your evaluation of the Lord Jesus? How does your walk of faith and your Christian witness, how does that speak to Christ's worth in your life? Well, these questions are quietly put before us in the text that we read this evening. One of those passages, the one that we just read from Zechariah, we learned that Zechariah was sent by God to preach to Israel after they had returned from the Babylonian captivity. They had been taken prisoner, they had endured years of persecution, but now they had returned home. And understandably, they were excited, they were enthusiastic. They rebuilt their homes, they rebuilt the walls. But yet there was a spiritual complacency that remained among the people. And God sent Zechariah to preach the gospel of grace and to call them to repentance. There were Israelites who truly believed in the one true and living God who needed to be encouraged. But there were also Israelites that needed to be rebuked for their self-righteousness and their complacency. Zechariah told the people that God's anger had been aroused because of their sin, and he preached assurance of forgiveness if they repented. But above all, Zechariah clearly proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the blessing that would come through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, Zechariah, like all of the prophets, was not valued. And in Zechariah 11, verse 12, we read something startling. Zechariah, this prophet of God, this true shepherd who faithfully declared the word of God, was valued at 30 pieces of silver. That was the price of a wounded slave, a slave that had been gored by an ox. Now this takes our minds to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rejections of the prophets of old pointed to the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Zechariah is being priced at 30 pieces of silver. It was prophetic of how many would value him, the eternal Son of God, the King of Kings, the one who is of infinite worth, was valued by many at the price of a wounded slave. And so those 30 pieces of silver represent the world's hatred of the Lord Jesus. But they also force us to ask ourselves, what is Christ worth to us? What is his life and ministry and his grace worth to us? Now, before we consider Christ and his ministry, let's back up in history and first consider the life and ministry of Zechariah. And so we'll begin by thinking about the worth of the shepherd. You may have noticed the shepherd terminology in chapter 11. God's prophets were often referred to as shepherds. Jesus, of course, uses this terminology of himself when he says, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus was the true prophet and shepherd, the one who would fulfill the Old Testament office of prophet perfectly. And in the Old Testament, there were two kinds of prophets. There were true prophets, and there were false prophets. True prophets were sent by God to speak and write his word. They were his messengers. But there were also false prophets, false shepherds who were not sent by God, who did not declare the word of God, but declared things of their own imagination. In Jeremiah 23:17, God warns about these false prophets. He says, "They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster will come upon you.'" And so in Zechariah, we see this very same problem. False shepherds were hindering the work of the true shepherds. People then, like they do today, preferred the easy, feel-good messages of the false prophets to the hard and convicting messages of God's true servants. And in Zechariah 11, we find a vision and a prediction that find their ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. In that section that we read, after calling the people to repentance, after encouraging them, after preaching the gospel, Zechariah announced a formal end of his relationship with the people. This was symbolized by his breaking of that staff that was named favor. It represented his ministry of God's grace, his gospel ministry. Now that breaking of that staff called favor finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. When after years of ministry to Israel, Jesus said with tears in Matthew 23:37 and 38, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. Jesus, the true shepherd, the divine prophet, was breaking his staff favor, as it were. The gospel had been preached, the light had shone, but the people had rejected the Son of God. And Jesus was saying, the time of God's favor is coming to an end. Zechariah was a type of Christ. His life and his ministry foreshadowed the life and ministry of Jesus. Zechariah, like Jesus, had been despised and rejected, and there came a moment when he said, I am done being your shepherd. God's time of favor has come to an end. And in verse 12, if you have your Bibles open, verse 12, notice he issues this challenge. He says to the people who had rejected him, if it seems good to you, give me my wages. But if not, keep them. He basically says to these people, pay me what you think I'm worth, or don't pay me. He's basically pressing them. He's saying, evaluate me. What has my ministry among you been worth? What is the value of God's gospel of grace to you? Where do I stand with you? And the text tells us that they weighed out as his wages 30 pieces of silver. They're giving him 30 pieces of silver was a calculated insult. It was an expression of disdain and rejection. It would have been better if they just didn't pay him anything. They were saying to God's faithful shepherd, we don't want you. Exodus 21:32 tells us that 30 pieces of silver was the compensation paid for a wounded servant. They're saying, Zechariah, this is what we think of you. You're no better than a worthless, injured servant. Here's what we think of your life and your ministry. They were mocking him. They were rejecting him. And in doing so, they were rejecting and mocking God. And so in verse 13, God instructs Zechariah to take the silver and to throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. And when we turn to the New Testament, we see very clearly how this foreshadowed the life and ministry of Christ. Zechariah's life and his rejection and his ministry to the people foreshadowed the world's rejection of Christ. It foreshadowed how the world would estimate Christ's worth. So that leads us next to the worth of God's Son. And what transpired in Zechariah 11 was prophetic of how Christ, the divine prophet, the true shepherd, would be treated by the people. Now, Israel, in the time of Christ, had experienced the love and grace and kindness of Jesus. Judas, especially, experienced the grace of Christ in a very unique way. The Bible repeatedly tells us that he was one of the 12. And that title that's given to Judas almost carries with it this idea of amazement. This guy was one of the 12. He experienced the love and the grace of Christ up close and personal, and yet he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. by many. The life and the ministry of the Son of God was valued at 30 pieces of silver, the price of a worthless, injured servant. Now Matthew records the transaction between Judas and the leaders. We read that passage in Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15. We read, "Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver." That was the ultimate fulfillment of what we read in Zechariah. And we can almost hear Christ behind the scenes of that transaction saying exactly what Zechariah said, saying to the religious leaders and saying to Judas and saying to the people, "What am I worth to you? Pay me my wages." And we should hear Christ asking us tonight, "What am I worth to you? What is the worth of my ministry? What is the worth of my life, the worth of my death to you?" Klaus Schilder said of this transaction between Judas and the leaders, "Yet with spiritual vision, we detect the presence of another person and hear him say, 'Give me my price. What am I worth to you? How do you evaluate me?' It is the voice of Christ, and look, it carefully count out 30 pieces of silver." And so Judas and the most devout religious men of the day sold Jesus, the eternal Son of God, for the price of an injured slave. As we read, Judas would come to regret this decision. When he saw that Jesus had been condemned, he felt bad and he brought back the money. And the chief priests and the elders basically told him to get lost. They said, "It's not our problem, it's your problem." And in Matthew 27:5, we read the tragic end. "And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself." And friends, in this we see the bitter fruit of sin. It's no coincidence that Judas' betrayal of Christ was foretold in the Old Testament. Psalm 41 spoke of Judas' betrayal. Scripture focuses on the betrayal of Judas, and in doing so, it encourages us to consider the depth of sin and the bitter fruit that it produces. Sin undervalues the Son of God. Sin says, "I am worth more than Jesus." Sin promises what it can't deliver. It promises happiness and pleasure and fulfillment. But in the end, it leads to death. You may have noticed that both in Zechariah and in Matthew, the 30 pieces of silver first are taken to the temple, and then they end up in the hands of a potter. Now, in Christ's day, the potter's field, or the field of blood as it came to be known, that was located near the entrance of the garbage dump of the city. And the garbage dump in the New Testament is called Gehenna. And Gehenna was a metaphor for hell. When Jesus talks about the fire of hell, he uses that word, Gehenna. And so this potter's field was near the entrance to Gehenna. And the subtle message here may be is that failing to see the great worth of Jesus and our need for him is the path to hell. And so this question of how we value God's Son, it's a question of eternal destiny. Now next, and related to the worth of God's Son, is the worth of God's grace. Zechariah preached a message of grace. He preached the gospel. He proclaimed salvation by grace alone in the Messiah alone. And all of the prophets in some way spoke of the Messiah as a suffering servant. They spoke of the Messiah as the true Passover lamb who would take away sins. And we need to remember this as we read the Old Testament. The prophets never preached a message of works righteousness. Zechariah wasn't saying to the people, turn over a new leaf or God's going to destroy you. Rather, he was saying, embrace the true shepherd, Jesus. Receive His grace. Forsake your self-righteousness and trust Him. Or God is going to destroy you. His message was a message of grace. But the people rejected the grace and favor of God. They were confident in their own righteousness. They thought that they could redeem themselves. Their situation wasn't much unlike ours. They were comfortable. Persecution was over. They had returned home. They had nice houses. Things were being rebuilt. They were thinking, we are doing fine. They gave Zechariah his price and basically said, leave us alone. We are fine without your message. What do we have to repent of? Look at how blessed we are. Again, Klaus Schilder comments insightfully when he says, the 30 pieces of silver were the tangible embodiment of the spirit of self-redemption. Grace allows no glory in the self. Redemption is from God alone. The people had rejected the message of grace. They rejected the gospel in favor of self-redemption. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ preached a message of grace. He preached the gospel, for He was the gospel. The gospel of grace never shone brighter than it did in the ministry of Jesus. He is that divine prophet, that true shepherd who was full of grace and truth. As John says, it is from Him that we receive grace upon grace. But when we turn to the New Testament and we consider the reaction to Christ's message of grace, and when we consider the reactions to His grace today, we see nothing different. Christ's word of grace is still despised and rejected. The one who is the embodiment of grace, the embodiment of the gospel, is mocked. His infinite worth is met with 30 pieces of silver. People still today refuse to turn away from this idea of self-redemption. They reject the cross of Christ and they choose to rely on themselves. Now your question might be, what does this have to do with us? I have trusted Jesus. I would never sell Him for 30 pieces of silver. But brothers and sisters, even believers can undervalue the good shepherd. Even we can subtly and quietly begin to rely on ourselves and think, I'm doing fine. And these texts put this piercing question before us. What is the divine shepherd worth to you? What is his grace worth? What is his cross worth to us? The Lord's table calls us to examine ourselves and to ask these piercing questions. Is it not true that when we sin, that we are undervaluing the Son of God? That we are undervaluing his grace? We look at the Son of God on one hand, and then we look at sin. And we choose sin, and when we do, are we not thinking that sin is worth more than Jesus? And when we get spiritually complacent, when we find ourselves in a state of comfort, when we come to rely on ourselves and start thinking, I am doing fine, are we not overvaluing ourselves and undervaluing the Son of God? Or maybe you're here tonight and you have never truly embraced Jesus Christ. You have never come to see his true worth. You have some connection with the church, but you have never come to embrace him. And what we can't forget, friends, is that in both Zechariah's time and in Christ's time, it was religious people who rejected him. In both cases, it was religious people who valued the Son of God at that mocking price of 30 pieces of silver. And so if you have had some connection with the church, if you have heard the gospel and you have been putting off embracing Christ, if you have been thinking, I'm going to live for myself for now and then, maybe later on I'll embrace Christ. I'll settle down. The clear warning for you this evening is that there comes a time when God says to people, my time of favor for you, my time of grace for you is over. I will no longer be your shepherd, and Christ will break that staff called favor, and the day of grace will be gone. And so if you haven't embraced Christ, the call to you this evening is to embrace him as he is offered to you in the gospel. To let go of your self-reliance, to let go of your attempts at self-redemption, and to look to the cross. To see the worth of Jesus. To see his perfect obedience. To see his righteousness and your need for it. To see the great worth of the one who gave his life to pay for sin and guilt. The call to you this evening is to turn from your self-efforts and turn to Christ. And we all commit this sin of undervaluing the Son of God. And so when we put this question squarely to ourselves and ask, what is Christ worth to me? The answer will inevitably be, not as much as he should be. But the good news is that our shepherd, Jesus Christ, is a God who forgives sin. He is a God who sanctifies sinners. He is a God who knows of our tendency to undervalue him, and so he gives us means to teach us of his worth. The preaching of the word teaches us of Christ's worth. Singing the psalms teaches us of Christ's worth. In prayer, we may go to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me of your great worth, enable me to see Jesus more clearly. And the Lord's Supper is a visual sign and seal, a visual reminder of the great worth of Jesus Christ. It is a reminder of His grace and His mercy that He has shown to us at the cross. Well, there's a beautiful irony in Christ being priced at this 30 pieces of silver. Remember, that was the price of a wounded servant who was gored or pierced by an ox. Christ became a servant who was wounded. He became a wounded, pierced, suffering servant for us. As Isaiah said, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. It is at the cross of Christ that we see His great worth shine the brightest. And so as we come to the Lord's table this evening, we no doubt need to repent of this sin of undervaluing Christ. But we may also come to the table and pray, Lord, show me Your great worth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we recoil at the account of the betrayal of our beloved Lord. But yet we do see in ourselves our tendency to value other things more than the Savior. And so we pray with the psalmist and ask that You would turn our eyes from worthless things, and that You would lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ and enable us to see His infinite worth more clearly. Lord, as we seek to overcome sin, may we understand that this is the way we overcome sin, by seeing the infinite worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, that as we come to Your table this evening, that as we have just heard the word preached, as we've heard it read, and as we will sing it again, Lord, that You would use these things, these means, to show us Your great worth. We thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You that the eternal God took on the nature of a servant and became a wounded servant for us. Praise You and thank You, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen.